kunjabi hari jayuranda madhava kunjabi hari Jaya Gopichana Balamba Girivara Dhamri Jaya Gopichana Balamba Girivara Dhamri Yashoda Nandana Amrita Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Amrita Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Chayuranda Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jayuranda Madhava Kunjabi Hari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everybody,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya. Nittai Gora Haribol, 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 Nittai Gora Haribol, Nittai Gora Haribol, 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 Nittai Gora Haribol.
Chalam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivraja Gacharya Astotra Sadashi Shimadi Divine Grace. Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivraja Gacharya Astotra Sadashi Shimadi Divine Krishna Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jai Ananti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsakau Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakund Radha Kund Girigovadan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Nadru Dham Ki Jai Yamuna Devi Ganga Devi Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Brihat Madanga Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Yaka Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Janitai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo All glories to the assembled devotees Hare Krishna All glories to the assembled devotees Hare Krishna All glories to the assembled devotees Hare Krishna all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga All glories to Srila Prabhupada Namo Vishnu Krishna Pastaya Bhunta Vishnu Devata Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Okay. Tadvad Vishago Janataga Viplavo.
Tadvad Vishago Janataga Viplavo.
Yasmim Pratishlokam Abhadavyat Yapi. Namam Yanan Tasya Yasho Nikanti Yat. Shrimvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadavaha Tadvad Vishago Janataka Viplavo Yasmin Pratishlokam Abhadavatyapi Namam Yanantasya Yasho Nikitaniyat Shrimvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadavaha Tadvad Vishago Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Pratishlokam Abhadavatyapi Namam Yanantasya Yasho Nikitaniyat Shrimvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadavaha Vaishnavis, please. Atapshako jataka viplavo. Tat, that, vak, vocabulary, vishagaha, creation, janata, the people in general, aga, sins, viplavaha, revolutionary, yasmin, in which, pratishlokam, each and every stanza. Abadavati, irregularly composed. Api, in spite of. Namani, transcendental names, etc. Anantasya, of the unlimited Lord. Yashaha, glories. Ankirtani, depicted. Yat, what. Shrinvanti, do hear. Gayanti, do sing. Grinanti, do accept. Sadavaha, the purified men who are honest. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories, of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc. of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Purple. It's quite a long purple, so bear with us. It is a qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, should accept gold even from a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions for everyone in every place without exception. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. While preparing this commentation on this particular stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend China has attacked the border of India with a militaristic spirit. We have practically no business in the political field, yet we see that previously They were both China and India, and they both lived peacefully for centuries without ill feeling. The reason is that they lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness, and every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted, and simple, and there was no question of political diplomacy. There is no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land, which is not very there is no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land, which is not very suitable for habitation, and certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. But due to the age of quarrel, Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance of quarrel on slight provocation. This is due not to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Systematically, there is propaganda by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. It is the duty of every responsible Indian to broadcast the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world, to do all the supermost good, as well as to bring about the desired peace in the world. Because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible work, there is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. We are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart, and naturally the people in general will follow them. The mass of people in general are tools in the hands of the modern politicians and leaders of the people. If there is a change of heart of the leaders only, certainly there will be a radical change in the atmosphere of the world. We know that our honest attempt to present this great literature conveying transcendental messages for reviving the God consciousness of the people in general and re-spiritualizing the world atmosphere is fraught with many difficulties. Our presenting this matter in adequate language, especially a foreign language, will certainly fail, and there will be so many literary discrepancies, despite our honest attempt to present it in the proper way. But we are sure that with all our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration, and the leaders of society will still accept this due to its being an honest attempt to glorify the Almighty God. When there is fire in the house, the inmates of the house go out to help keep to get help from the neighbors, who may be foreigners. And yet, without knowing the language of the victims of the fire, express themselves, and the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. After all, it is a technical science of spiritual values, and thus we are concerned with the techniques and not with the language. Very interesting. If the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. When there are too many materialistic activities by the people in general all over the world, there is no wonder that a person or a nation attacks another person or nation on slight provocation. That is the rule of this age of Kali or quarrel. The atmosphere is already polluted with corruption of all description, and everyone knows it well. There are so many unwanted literatures full of materialistic ideas of sense gratification. In many countries, there are bodies appointed by the state to detect and censor obscene literature. This means that neither the government nor the responsible leaders of the public want such literature. Yet it is in the marketplace because the people want it for sense gratification. The people in general want to read, that is a natural instinct. But because their minds are polluted, they want such literatures. Under the circumstances, transcendental literature like Srimad Bhagavatam will not only diminish the activities of the corrupt mind of the people in general, but also it will supply food for their hankering after reading some interesting literature. In the beginning, they may not like it because one suffering from jaundice is reluctant to take sugar candy. But we should know that sugar candy is the only remedy for jaundice. Similarly, let there be systematic propaganda for popularizing reading of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will act like sugar candy for the jaundice-like condition of sense gratification. When men have a taste for this literature, the other literatures which are catering poison to society will then automatically cease. We are sure, therefore, that everyone in human society will welcome Srimad Bhagavatam, even though it is now presented with so many faults, for it is recommended by Sri Narada, who has very kindly appeared in this chapter. Om Gyanata Mirandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshu Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapata Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishikam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadha Dara Shivasudhi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is a very famous, very powerful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Not just the verse, but also this purport is extremely instructive and extremely penetrating in its analysis of the problem of modern civilization. Yeah. So Prabhupada is speaking about so many topics. Let's begin with the verse. This literature. So this is a verse in glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I was reading and researching this place in Bhagavatam. So we hear previously the Narada Muni, he's you could say exploring with Vyasadeva his despondency. And the conclusion, his guidance to Vyasadeva is that the problem is that you have not created a literature which directly glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the writings of the previous Acharyas, they explain that actually Vyasadeva has written literatures in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know, as Prabhupada explains in this purport, we have two main literatures. Srimad Bhagavatam, which we're reading now, and also Bhagavad Gita. So in the Bhagavad Gita, which is within the Mahabharata, we understand who is the Supreme Lord, right? We understand Jai Shri Shri Radha Landanishvara Ki Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Shri Shri Gonta Guru Parampara Shri Prabhupada Tosi Maharani Ki Jai. So we understand the Bhagavad Gita is there. So Vyasadeva has written literature in glorification of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna speaking himself, right? Explaining his position. And then moreover, we have Arjuna accepting the position of Krishna and recognizing that Krishna is to be worshipped. Right? So Krishna's position is there. Right? Krishna's position is the supreme controller, the source of everything. Aham savasya prabhava mata savam pravatate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samam vitaha. the position of the living entities, the understanding that only by devotion, only by devotion can I be known in truth. So he has been glorified. The explanation by the previous acharyas is that in those previous literatures, there was also more emphasis given to Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha than to pure, unalloyed devotional service. That was considered to be the fault in that respect. But here, as is being explained in this verse, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, etc., is a different creation. And again, full of transcendental words, but very interesting, directed towards what? Directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. This verse in purple is so significant. It carries such weight. How do you perform an illusion? You have a magician. So the magician is performing some kind of illusion. How is an illusion performed? What happens is the magician directs your attention in one direction when something else is going on elsewhere. By causing the living entity to look in one direction, you can fool them because the real activity is going on elsewhere. And unfortunately, this is exactly the state of modern civilization, as is explained by Vyasadeva here. The world's misdirected civilization is extremely significant. In the news recently, so there was a film, there was a film premiere. And what happened was in the film premiere, or one of the earliest showings of this film, so some crazed person came into the cinema, threw a canister of tear gas in the cinema, and then randomly shot, I think, 12 people, and I think another 50 were injured, Now, unfortunately, we have a big problem with our society, And the problem is superficiality. See, if you read this purport, Prabhupada at least 3 times talks about the polluted atmosphere. And again, it is so penetrating and so insightful. What's causing this kind of behavior? Unfortunately, the foolish materialistic mentality thinks it's an isolated incident and it's a problem with the individual. No. That's simply one factor of the problem. But when you invoke a particular mode, that mode permeates the entire atmosphere. That mode permeates the entire atmosphere and it pollutes and affects the minds and the intelligence of all of those individuals within that same atmosphere. So when you do that, then as it seeps into the mentality of individuals, it affects them and then they perform all kinds of negative activities. So we're not just dealing with badly behaved individuals. We have an entire climate that stimulates the most materialistic, selfish, and negative aspects of human consciousness. That's actually what we're dealing with. In this purport, Prabhupada says here, this line, in many countries there are bodies appointed by the state to detect and censor obscene literature. I was putting together a seminar actually. And it's to do with sexual purity. Sexual purity for men. And one of the things that we were talking about is how the mind and the body are connected. The mind and the body are connected. So whatever is done with the body, it particularly invokes a particular mentality. Whatever we do with the body, it invokes a corresponding mindset, a corresponding mentality. So when people engage their senses in very negative activity, perceiving, for example, here it talks about obscene literature, pornography, that's what Prabhupada is speaking about.
It invokes a mentality. So in the general sense, it invokes a mode of passion. Right? More specifically, that lusty mentality invokes a very self-centered mentality. Right? The more that the consciousness is trapped in a very focused, self-centered mood, that mindset, that mentality, then pollutes every kind of relationship that that living entity engages in. Right? They're not isolated incidents. Isolated incidents do not exist in the material reality. They don't exist. Everything is connected to something else. Right? Every single thing. Any activity the living entity does creates a taste for a continuation of the same activity. You understand the point? Right? Every activity, you can even take this further. You can go further and say that every living entity has a deity. Right? Because every living entity has something that they meditate upon. You understand? Every living entity has something that they meditate upon. So every living entity has a deity. And every time you meditate upon your particular deity, right, you become attached to that particular deity. So in the material world, they may say, I don't have a religion, I don't have a God. But you're meditating on money, on women, or let's say the opposite sex. Whatever the living entity meditates on, they become attached to. Dhyayato vishayam pumsa. Contemplation of the objects of the senses leads to attachment. That's the point. But here we are lucky. Why? Because in this understanding, your mind becomes weighed down with knowledge. Guru means, there's different meanings of the word guru, but one of the meanings is one who is heavy with knowledge. Right? So, Prabhupada, the acharyas are glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam because it weighs the consciousness with knowledge. We don't see the world in a naked way. We always see the world in direct proportion and in direct relation to the knowledge that we have. So when we see a particular item in this world, then the knowledge that we have about the item, it determines how we feel and how we respond to the particular item. Right? That's the point. So as the mind becomes weighed down with knowledge, it forces us to deal with the items of this world in a different way. Right? Specifically, what does transcendental knowledge do? It gives you the chain of events. Engaging in this item will create this reaction. You see the item and the entire chain that comes along with that. You understand the point? That is why it's so powerful. And because when we deal with the item, we see the entire chain, it forces us to deal with the item in a different way. That's the difference between the spiritual mentality and the materialistic mentality. The materialistic mentality sees the item in isolation. I can enjoy this. It's going to be okay. I'll enjoy it, have my fun, and then leave it. And then enjoy something else. No, it doesn't exist. Right? Trying to enjoy items in the material world in isolation, it does not exist. Whatever you enjoy, there's always a reaction. Right? And even the reaction isn't just through the external world. There's two types of reaction that come from trying to enjoy sense gratification. There's an external reaction and there is an internal reaction. Right? The internal reaction is that every act of sense gratification breeds further acts of sense gratification. Right? The habit, the mentality, is also a subtle form of reaction. Right? The mentality, aham mamati, I'm the body. The idea of to be the Aishwarya, the controller, right? The bogey, the enjoyer, that is also a reaction. Yeah? So nothing exists in isolation. Either we're going more into the material or going more into the spiritual. There is no point of neutrality. It doesn't exist. Yeah? even to the point, even how we honor prasadam, is doing something, is determining something about our consciousness, where we're going. Huh? So, this is the point. They don't see. Pasyan api napasati. There are those who see, but they don't actually see. And it's a big problem. Here in the purple, Prabhupada is speaking about leaders. Because unfortunately, our leaders are blind. In most cases, they have no clue what's going on. Unfortunately, there is this idea that we will just, if we bring about more economic development, everyone will be happy. It will never work. It will never work. Right? Economic development hasn't made anyone happy. Right? Look at the world. The most economically developed countries in the world, even to this day, places like America, do you find that the population in America are giddy with ecstasy? It's just so... It's so profoundly foolish that we can observe with our own eyes that the entire populations in economically developed countries are miserable, but yet everyone wants to copy that example. It is so foolish. We have to change direction, right? I like this phrase, misdirected, right? We have to change direction. As devotees, every time you apply this knowledge, right? Every time it's applied, it changes you. You could call this the navigation technique. It's very interesting that Prabhupada uses this term, and I want to repeat it for you. Let's see. Yeah. If the technique, so here, Prabhupada says, after all, it is a technical science of spiritual values, and thus we are concerned with the techniques and not with the language. Amazing. Right? Concerned with the techniques. That means this has to be applied. Right now, every single one of us are on a course. Right? We're moving in a particular direction. We are like a ship which is moving in a particular direction. If you make even a 1 degree shift, right, from where you're going, 1 degree, that will, over time, profoundly take you in a completely different direction. Right? Think about it. Right? As devotees, sometimes we become stagnant because we're not applying the technique that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? It is not a theory. It is a technique. Prabhupada says here, a technical science of spiritual values. Huh? What are we applying? If we make the resolution to apply even one thing, to bring that into our life space, institute it, install it within our life space, one thing, it will change the entire course of our destiny in very profound ways. Right? I think there was in the material they have this saying that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing again and again and again and expecting a different result. Right? That's the point. Right? If we do, as devotees, what we have always done, we will always get the result that we've always received in the past. You understand the point? Yeah? So we encourage you, think about that. Right? How is it that I can institute more of this Krishna science within my life? Is it that I'm going to read for a bit longer? Right? Is it that I'm going to chant my rounds in one go? Right? Is it that I'm going to change the association that I have? Right? What one thing can we install in our lives that's going to make that profound difference? Profound difference. Right? The science is so powerful. One thing can make such a profound difference. And then when that one thing is installed, it moves us over time in such a profoundly different direction, then something else, something else, something else, and eventually we come to that Vasudeva platform, we'll see Krishna, hear Krishna. Right? One thing. Right? This technical science. Right? We want to consider also how we accept these lessons. Prabhupada begins this purport. He says it is a qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst, right? The education doesn't end with the Srimad Bhagavatam, because we're living in a miracle. The Bhagavatam is unfolding at every moment, right? It unfolds when we hear the class, and it unfolds when we're walking through the day, engaging in our service, right? But we have to be able to pick it up, right? There is a technique implied by the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava Gita, right? So you have the 24 gurus, you have the Avanti Brahmana, and he's learning from nature. Where does he get these conclusions from? Right? He's taking the conclusions from the Shastra. Sometimes devotees ask, well, how can I be Krishna conscious when I'm out of the temple? This is how. Right? We get the point from the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is like the nail. Right? You have the nail, you want to knock the nail, you want to implant it into a place in your house, right? So you have the nail. That means the Siddhanta, the conclusion, is given in Bhagavatam, right? But there are varying degrees of realization of that conclusion, right? So we take the nail from the Bhagavatam. Then, when we're walking through our day, we see how this same philosophical point is playing itself out, or is demonstrating itself in the external world, right? And every time we see, oh, I heard this in Shastra, and I'm seeing it now. Every time we see that, that's knocking the nail a bit deeper. Then we see it again, knocking the nail a bit deeper. We see it again, knocking the nail a bit deeper, to allow that nail, that Siddhantic point, to penetrate within the consciousness so that we become deeply fixed in transcendence. You understand the point? That's what's going on, right? So Srimad Bhagavatam, it manifests in the external world if we are looking for the conclusions of the Shastra through our day-to-day dealings. That is how we can remain Krishna conscious in any situation and circumstance without exception. Right? We can remain Krishna conscious also if we see how to apply these techniques, because the techniques are so potent that they apply to everything. I mean, without exception. You want to be a great leader, just look at Bhishudev's instructions to Yudhisthira. It doesn't get better than that. Right? Why? Because Veda means knowledge. Right? You want to know that you're married and you're grahasta, you want to know how to have a relationship, look at Kardama Muni's dealings with Devahuti. Whatever it is, it's in Veda. If it works, if it actually works, it is in Shastra. Right? If it works, it's in Shastra. You know, anything that anyone in this world who is successful, they are only successful because they have consciously or unconsciously applied the principles of Shastra. Because unless someone applies the principles of Shastra, you cannot be successful. And you may say, well, what if they're impious? It means they applied the Shastra in their previous life. That's all. And they're getting the reaction to that now. That's all. No one has ever become successful by applying anything other than the teachings of Krishna, right? Because technical science of spiritual values also means, technically, that it is the science of how anything and everything works. Anything. The only reason why it works is because it's in line or it follows the teachings of Krishna. Because Krishna invented it. Right? Generally, in most theologies, when they talk about God and God being the creator, they just consider he invented the gross material world. But that's not our theology. Right? We say that the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. That means that family is existing here because family was also invented by God and it exists in its pure form in the spiritual world. We say that leadership, right, the idea of a king, right, it wasn't invented by humanity. It wasn't like, you know, you had some hunter-gatherers and they decided eventually that it would be a useful way to construct society by having a monarch. No, that's in Dwaraka. Right? Krishna is an eternal king in Dwaraka. Right? So all of these things, family, masculinity, femininity, leadership, They exist in their pure forms in the spiritual world. They were also invented by God. They were also invented by God. They weren't something that humans came across in the material world. Right? From some prehistoric, primitive man, and then we had this idea. No, it's all rubbish. So the principles upon which they work are also given by the same person who invented them. Right? It's so amazing. It's so amazing. We have so much that we can use. And so much that we can share with humanity. But in order to share it, you have to take it on board yourself. That's the point. You know? If we don't practice, it's extremely difficult to inculcate that in other people. Because what you are is more powerful preaching than what you say. That makes sense? Right? What we demonstrate is far more powerful than what we say. So if we utilize, as Prabhupada says here, if the techniques, right? He says, if the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. It's very interesting. I was studying some statements by Prabhupada, and one devotee had asked Prabhupada a question. I can't remember what the question was. And Prabhupada was explaining the difference between him and Lord Chaitanya. He said the difference is Lord Chaitanya is purely interested is purely spiritual, just purely interested in the spiritual conclusion. And he says we are interested in the spiritual and material benefit of the world. Isn't that amazing? Right? He actually said that. Right? We're interested in people's material and spiritual benefit. Right? You can actually find that on Vedabase if you look it up. Right? What does that mean? It means that he also wants to make sure that the material situation is suitable. Not that it's the goal, but it's suitable for spiritual elevation. That means Varnashram, by the way. That means Varnashram. Right? That situation externally is also suitable so people can also move forward and make spiritual advancement. Right? And he has given through the Srimad Bhagavatam everything. Everything. More than is necessary, more than we as devotees know, more than we understand, he's given everything. Right? This information will change everything. Now, there's so many points in this purport because it's so long, but we'll just touch upon one or two others. This statement, the same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. It can't be done individually. Right? But there's no question that we're going to be able to spread Krishna consciousness in a meaningful and large way individually. So whenever you feel that it's difficult and you don't want to cooperate with the devotees, remember, if you don't cooperate, there's no question of the movement being spread. It's not going to happen. Now, you have the opportunity, wherever possible, to cooperate with people that you naturally are inclined to, that you resonate with. That's just being intelligent, right? But the idea that I'm going to spread the movement by myself is that you're living in a fool's paradise. That's all, right? The idea that we're going to spread the movement by, you know, individually, it's not going to happen. If the Nitya Siddhas, right? If Srila Prabhupada does it with others, right? He's telling his disciples that, you know, by cooperating, we can spread this movement. If he does it with others, and he's a fully empowered Shakti Aveshavatar, what do you think you're going to do individually? Think about it. Right? That's why our leaders keep banging on this whole point, cooperation, cooperation, cooperation. And Prabhupada says here, let's see. When there are too many materialistic activities by the people in general of the world, there is no wonder that a person or nation attacks another person or nation on slight provocation. That is the rule of this age of Kali or quarrel. This is so powerful, right? It means that any partnership, any project, any department, any movement, any institution that is successful in this age is only, and I repeat, only, one which has learned to deal with conflict in a healthy way. Right? There will be conflict. It's inevitable because our age is defined by quarrel and hypocrisy. That is what Kali Yuga means. right? So we don't want to shy away from conflict. We don't want to, you know, go into denial and think it's not going to exist. Don't be surprised that you have conflict with other devotees, right? Learn the science of how to overcome the conflict. That will give you tremendous spiritual shakti, right? Because that's the standard flaw in the armor of the living entities in this age. It's the standard fault of the age, whether you're a devotee or a non-devotee. So if you want to see a devotee who's going to fly, look for the devotee who's learned to deal with conflicts in a healthy way, because that means that they're going to use the defining characteristic of the age as a launch pad for greater spiritual advancement. That's someone, you know, like sometimes you have companies, right? And someone joins the company, right? And you can tell early on, this person's going to be a high achiever in the company, right? You can tell he's going to, you know, I can see this person has the potential one day to be the head of the company. Because why? They've got something about them that allows them to utilize the situation for maximal benefit. You understand? Right? So the defining characteristic of Kali Yuga is everywhere you go, there'll be issues, conflicts, right? Two particular armories. One, you have to learn to forgive people. This idea that I'm going to carry a grudge, so-and-so did this to me, I don't like them. You know, do you know how many wounded people we have in our movement? Do you have any idea how many people are on the fringes? And what Maya had done, is she's hurt them in such a way that in this lifetime they've settled in at a certain level. Right? And they won't move beyond it in this entire lifetime. Right? In this whole lifetime. Stuck. And I'm not going to do any more. This is how tricky the material energy is. What we're saying is, I'm not going to make any more advancement because of someone else's bad behavior. Think about it. I'm going to stop making spiritual advancement because of you. Very intelligent, isn't it? Right? That's the way I get back at you, by making sure that I take birth again in the material world. Yeah, I'll show you. Right? Think about it. It's an illusion. Right? So the age is defined, and Prabhupada, he says that. Right? That is the rule of this age of Kali or quarrel. Right? So if we learn this science, how will I, even if there's difficulties and challenges, and even if I get hurt or upset, how will I use that for maximal spiritual advancement? This is the clue. This is the clue. We should study Srimad Bhagavatam Threadbare, because Prabhupada, he gives everything. He says himself, his purples are more important than the verses. Right? He says that. Right? And that's not a statement of pride. That's a statement of humility. Because in his purples, he's so in line with the previous acharyas, and at the same time so relevant to the modern condition of the day. He's speaking in this purple about modern current affairs, you know, for the time, right? India and China, right? For the time. And we should always remember that. Don't be fooled by any kind of idea that our teaching is something in the past. It's always present, right? Because the nature of reality does not change. Right? It doesn't matter. See, this is so important. Right now, to give an example, right now, there's so much of a foolish idea that, you know, men and women are the same, right? So we have a false idea of how everyone should do everything. But the Vedas don't say that. They say that the male form has a particular kind of psychophysical nature. The female form has a particular kind of psychophysical nature. If we live in alignment with that nature, in a Krishna conscious way, society works very nicely. Right? So all these false ideas, it doesn't matter what people propagate, because God made it. You understand the point? Krishna invented it. So the way that the inventor says, this is how it's invented, these are the characteristics of it, this is how it works. It doesn't matter who someone is. That nature will not change. You can mutate it, warp it, deny it, but the nature, the fundamental nature of reality does not change. Right? We can learn how it works and how it can be utilized in God's service, but the fundamental nature does not change. The more that we recognize that, honor it, we will grow very, very powerful. I'll end on this one point, then we'll take questions. I was doing some research on this, and one very wonderful point came up in one class I was listening to. You see, one of the reasons why we're in trouble is when we as individuals do not value the services of others, right? So in this purple, Prabhupada is talking about the leaders, right? Practically speaking, all of the leaders in the world, they're being ridiculed and attacked, right? And in this age, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, everyone according to Srimad Bhagavatam is a Shudra or less, right? Shudra at best, right? If not less than that. Right? So what happened in the Vedic society is the kings, the brahmanas, everyone actually respected the position of every single individual in the Varnashram society. Right? The Shudras were respected for their contribution. The Vaishyas were respected for their contribution. The Brahmins were respected for their contribution. The Kshatriyas were respected for their contribution. What does that do? It means that when every position is respected, then whatever psychophysical nature an individual has, they will think, okay, this is my psychophysical nature, this is the kind of work I should do. And I'm happy to do it because I know that people appreciate that service. They don't think, oh, you're just a Shudra, you know, you're low class, right? I'm a Brahmin, right? I'm really above you. You see the point? The Brahmin has even respected the Shudras. So the Shudra was happy to be a Shudra, knowing that what they did was valued. Right? Again, it's a key principle. If you look at what's being given in Prabhupada's books, you'll find if we adopt these principles, everything works. Everything works. Oh, this is how the leaders in the Vedic age did it. This is how the Raja Rishis did it. Right? The real leaders, not these fakes. Not this Shudra who wants to be a leader. Shudra of a crown. Real leaders. Right? This is how Yudhisthira behaved. This is how Arjuna behaved. This is how Prithvi Maharaj behaved. If you catch the point from Shastra and you employ that point, you watch your leadership will go through the roof. Right? Respect everyone. Principle of leadership. Right? Then what happens is people feel happy to be in their position. They're happy for you to be in your position, and they'll encourage you in your position. They'll glorify you in your position, and they'll serve enthusiastically. Why? Because according to the Vedas, leader also is a servant, and leader is also there to appreciate other people. So many points. If it works, it's Vedic. If it works, it's Shastric. Right? That's the point. That's why the leaders in our world, they don't know what they're doing. Because they don't employ the Bhagavatam. And unless you employ the Bhagavatam, it cannot work. Because the only way to make something work is to follow the principles and the direction of the person who invented it. Okay. So we'll stop there. And we'll see what questions you have. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, for another amazing, inspiring, insightful class.
Thank you for your tolerance.
Especially like this last 2 points about the conflicts and way to deal with them and how important it is to appreciate others. It's more like a little reflection on what you said. In regards to how to use the conflicts themselves in the age of quarrel and take it as an impetus for spiritual advancement. Just a little short story. I was on my way from Moscow to London yesterday, and I was kind of inspired after a talk of one senior devotee who said, you know, that's our mood, that we should be happy to embrace the challenges of life. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of, yeah, I'm going back to London, I'm going to fight Maya, and with that mode. And pretty much my first encounter with Maya-like institution was in the airport. And I had quite a few pages of books of Srila Prabhupada with me. And I expected some resistance, but it just manifested. And then, you know, the airport staff, they were quite, you can see, rude, uncompromising and demanding, and they wanted to take money from me. Mm-hmm. So eventually Krishna gave intelligence how to solve the situation and still take books on board and not to pay much. But there was so much going on within me, even though I didn't say anything against it, how it's important to serve people rather than exploit it, how your whole mood should be about, you know, trying to assist and perhaps organize a nice, healthy flight. So the only reason I'm bringing this point that eventually I was meditating and so much was happening within, and somehow Krishna gave a chance to overcome it, and then to ask myself, why did I face the situation? And then that's exactly the exactly what you were saying about, just because the age of quarrel is the way it is, all the institutions, they're trying to exploit people. And if we simply, what Srila Prabhupada said, be Vaishnavas or be gentlemen, and our mood would be about serving others, then the whole mood of Kali Yuga would become exactly the proof or exact way why people would join us, just because it would be so absolutely prominent and visible that the world got mad, and these people are just about serving others. Then it simply becomes, as you said, the conflict on the mass level becomes the impetus to people to join Krishna consciousness on the mass level as well. So, sorry, it took me too long to explain that, but just
thank you very much.
Little realization.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Hare Krishna. I think one more person has a question in the back.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you
for the class. I wanted to ask, could you please elaborate more what Prabhupada meant by that he was different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was interested in spiritual development and Prabhupada was in material and spiritual.
There's a particular context in which he said it. But the point is, we explained in the class, Prabhupada was talking about the importance of Varnashram, right? Meaning that Varnashram is actually a situation which is there to allow the mind to be peaceful, so one can focus their consciousness on spiritual development, right? So in that sense, that was the context in which he was speaking about it. But it's there, you can find it on Vedabase. Yeah, it's a discussion, I think, that he was having with one devotee. Yes. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone else have a question? Janitor.
I just wanted to make a comment, if that's okay.
Sure.
And just on the point you made at the beginning about the shootings that happened in this cinema, and how nothing is in isolation. I was reading a little bit about it, and one person who was there, he was, you know, expressing real devastation, and he said something along the lines of, it was terrible, there were shootings everywhere, people were bleeding, people were screaming, it was horrific, I never want to see anything like that again. It was horrible. And I was thinking, God, it must have been so intense for this person. Then I thought, but he went to see a movie that was going to have shootings, screamings, killings, bleedings, and he's probably going to go next weekend to see another movie with shootings, screamings, bleedings, and he never wants to see it again, and he's probably seen 1,000 movies like that, and he continues to contaminate his consciousness with this, you know, with this, you know, with these films, and people are wondering why psychopaths come, because films are being, you know, all about psychopaths doing this. So
that's a great point. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, there's nothing neutral. You know, people think, oh, we'll just watch it on TV in the cinema. No. I mean, I'll tell you honestly, I was seeing that even for devotees, one of the reasons why devotees have troubles in relationship is from TV. Right? Because when you watch the TV, when people watch the TV or go to the cinema, it puts the mind in an alpha state. In that state, your mind is 5 times more receptive to everything that you're seeing and hearing. And you can't tell me that these programs don't have violence and don't have, like, sexual, you know, scenes. They must have, you know? So therefore, even though you may say that our value system is we're not into that, it's gone into your subconscious mind. And these expectations that you have about, you know, others and, you know, the whole thing is going to be affected. It makes us more aggressive and so on, yeah. So there's no neutral. It's not neutral. Yeah, it's a very great point. Thank you. Do I have time for one more question or... Yeah? Oh. Do you have time for one more question?
No.
Yeah? Okay.
It's very short. I just missed something you had said. Thank you for a lovely class.
Thank you.
You were talking about moving past, you know, the issues we might have with people, and you said two things was to forgive, and what was the second one?
Cooperate. But I think the other thing I was emphasizing was cooperation.
Thank you very much. That's all.
Actually, yeah, I didn't mention both, but yeah, forgiveness and cooperation. Yeah. Okay, I think we should stop because we're over time. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shiva Prabhupada ki jai, Janata Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much, Buddha Bhavan Approved, for a nice class. It's Grace Buddha Bhavan Approved Ki. Let's see, a couple of announcements. Unfortunately, let's see if Radha Prabhu has any information about this. Just a couple of announcements I made this morning. Just a reminder. Let's see. Saturday there will be initiations at the manor in the morning. Solanus Radhanath Maharaj and also Solanus Bhakti Churu Maharaj will be giving initiations. Quite a number of devotees from here will also be taking first initiation and many second initiation. So those devotees who are residents will be trying to, or will be organizing transportation to the manor. So obviously transportation will be for residents first as priority. Lots of devotees will want to go because many devotees are getting first initiation, which is a very magic moment in devotees' life. So we'd like to facilitate that, so I request anyone who's planning to go to please speak to me so that I can make sure that there's enough space and facility in the vehicles to accommodate everyone. Just on that point, there will be approximately 90 initiates on the day. So that's a large number. I think approximately 50 to 70 of them will be first initiates. So this is quite a big number. That means that there will be lots of restrictions at the manor because it will be in the temple room. So 90 devotees just taking initiation sitting in the temple room is already half full. Then if they want to have guests, then it's going to be very crowded. The restrictions are that each initiate will be given two tickets, and they will give tickets to their guests. First initiate's guests will be allowed in the temple room. Second initiate's guests will have seats in the theater, and then everyone else will figure it out. So I'm letting you know that, so not, as I said this morning, not to discourage anyone, but not that you show up and create a whole hoopla about such and such, I want to get in the temple room, or such and such, I should be in the theater. If you don't have a ticket, you figure it out. Don't create an issue about it. Just accept that it's a big event, and unfortunately, because of the situation there, they can't set up the marquee earlier and so many different things, or else it would have been much nicer and big marquee, but that can't be done. So please exhibit tolerance and humility in dealing with, you know, the devotees who are trying to manage such a big event. The other thing is that the Olympics will be starting this weekend officially, and we're planning a number of events during that time, so a few announcements around that. One is that devotees who are serving here or coming here for the morning program or coming here throughout the day or whatever, almost absolutely for sure there will be many impediments in order to get here and or when leaving the temple, because the roads will be very packed if you're driving, and the tube system and so many other things will be affected. We've sent out a couple of emails Over the last few months, just letting devotees know about these possible interruptions. So you should just be aware that over the next month, really, month and a bit, almost 2 months, because after the Olympics, then there's the Paralympics, and that means that it continues, intensity will continue. So just so everyone knows that. Today, the Olympic torch will be coming down Oxford Street. So that's an opportunity. Recently, we had one devotee who was carrying the torch in Havering, which is East London. Well, just outside of London, in Kent, I think. And we were attempting to try to be there for that, to have kirtan. Unfortunately, we got there 5 minutes late, I think, or something. So we just missed the, you know, the TV cameras were all turned off and everything. So we got to have some kirtan. But today it's much closer to home, so I'm hoping that maybe we can make it on time today. So we'll probably miss it also. But we can at least try. So if my understanding is correct, the torch will be reaching Oxford Circus around 5 o'clock. I think it's actually a little bit after 5, but if we meditate on 5, then maybe we'll get there just as the torch is coming. So it's going to be very crowded. Likely the roads will be blocked off, to be lots of people, but I don't know, whoever is organizing the Harinams, Fradalandeshwar Prabhu and other devotees, maybe Bhakta Lexi, you guys can organize so that there's a Harinam maybe going up Oxford Street somewhere between 4:30 and 4:45, then you might make it up there. Might be better to already be up there, you know, from 4 o'clock or something like that. But anyway, some planning will have to be done. And then I believe that the torch goes from Oxford Circus down Regent Street, Piccadilly, then to Trafalgar Square, and then down to the Houses of Parliament. So that's kind of the route. It'll come from the Primark end, the Marble Arch end of Oxford Street, like that. Also, this Saturday, we're going to have a Harinam bus, and that means we'll have a double-decker open-top bus that will be driving around London with kirtan happening in the bus. We'll also have 6-hour kirtan on Saturday from 1 until 7. The bus will be from 3 until 7. The bus is free. You don't have to pay to get on it, but it has a limited number of seats. So what we'll do is establish a stopping and getting on and getting off point, and then devotees will get on the bus and go around for about an hour. The bus will come back, drop them off, and the next set of devotees can get on and go around for an hour. So we've done this quite a number of times in the past, and devotees seem to really like it a lot. It's very enlivening, and you move through London and everyone around just gets really enthusiastic. So like that. So we're encouraging devotees to please come and participate in these activities on Saturday. Okay, thank you very much. So we'll just read the scores. I only have one score, and that's from Govinda's restaurant, where we distributed prasadam to at least 241 customers for a total of 1,879 Lakshmi points. Transcendental prasadam distribution key, Jai. Just a reminder, we are attempting to distribute some of Srila Prabhupada's books. So if anyone can manage to distribute a book or two or 10 or 11, then that would be really nice. But now we'll offer our prayer to the Lordships. The Nitai Padakamala Traveling Sankirtan Party is out there, so at least we can pray intensely for them to have great success in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Dear Shri Shri Radhalandanishwara, Jagannath Balaraman Subhadra, Shri Shri Gornitai, and Giri Govardhan, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto you. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request your causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to distribute the books of your pure devotee Srila Prabhupada to the fallen conditioned souls of London. Please enable us to cooperate together in a mode of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We, your surrendered servants, humbly beg. Srila Prabhupada's transcendental book distribution, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. So we just need volunteers to serve prasadam this morning. Okay, and volunteers to help clean up after breakfast. Okay, brilliant. If everyone could please help in the prasadam chain, it would make a big difference. The last few days there's been two devotees in the prasadam chain, so if everyone could please help, thank you.